and thinking about the Gospel tonight, and reading through the Scriptures, something impressed me this week very much, that right through the Gospels, the Gospel speaks of the person of Christ. That is the Gospel. Often we preach men's deed, and that's in the Gospel too, but when we go through the Scriptures, we find that men point at John the Baptist. I was going to read in 1 John, John the Baptist, and he's, and it's just verses in John chapter 1. And we'll read a wee bit about John the Baptist. Start at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bear record, that this is the Son of God. This is the verse I was thinking of tonight. The next verse says, And again the next day John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples which heard him speak, they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto him, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And it's interesting to read the rest of the chapter. We find what these men did, these two disciples of John, what they did. But what I want to speak tonight is the fact that the only thing that men could do in the Gospel is point men and women to the Lord Jesus. He's the centre of the Gospel. We used to have a brother in the meeting, and as a older or a member, he used to say quite often that if you miss Christ, you miss everything. That was Mr. Campbell. He said, if you miss Christ, you miss everything. And in the Gospel tonight, I would like to impress on you the person of the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist, if we'd read about him a wee bit earlier in the Scriptures, you would find that the Pharisees and the scribes had come to him and said, Are you the Messiah? Are you Elias? Are you one of the prophets? And we find that John the Baptist says, No, I'm not. He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist wasn't interested in who John the Baptist was. He was only interested in the reason that he came. He came to point men and women to Christ. That was John's purpose when he baptized. He talked about repentance, because men were sinful and they needed to repent. And Israel needed to repent because they rejected God. And John knew that the Lord Jesus was coming. And John knew that he was coming very soon. He knew. But because we find when John was just a babe, that even in his mother's womb he knew that Christ was coming. But thinking about what John did, John preached the Lord Jesus. And what did he preach? Something similar to what we preach today. We preached about the cross. John preached of a cross that was future. When John looked at the Lord Jesus, he looked and he saw, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." John was a man of the Old Testament. He was known the Old Testament, and he knew that they brought their sin offering year by year. And they brought this lamb as a sin offering, pointing to the person of Christ. But when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, he turned away from the animals and he pointed to the Lord Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, the bearer away of the sin of the world." And the message that we preach tonight is that the Lord Jesus has died. The Lord Jesus has been made the sacrifice. When the Lord Jesus died, he died for sin. He died for your sin and mine's. And there's forgiveness because the Lord Jesus died. The bearer away of the sin of the world. John preached that. He also preached that the Lord was coming. And we preach that too. You know, tonight, as we preach the gospel, the Lord Jesus, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus, we don't know when. The scripture doesn't tell us when. But the scripture says it on the Sunday. You could read in the gospel that two will be walking together. And one will be taken. And the other left. Two will be working at a mill. One will be taken. And the other left. They're coming of the Lord and it's drawing nigh. We believe that all events point to the coming of the Lord. And you say, well, that's pointed to that for hundreds of years. But if you want to look at the nation of Israel and the things that's happening in the world today, and the answer to the problems of the world today, I say it's only one man that will answer the problems of the world today is a future man. But before that man appears, the Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to come and take the church out of the world, and this world will be left for judgment. The man that I was speaking about that will come to put the world right will be the man of sin. And he will rule the world with a rod of iron, him and the beast, and the false prophet will rule this world with a rod of iron until the last 7 years of his reign. And God pours out judgment upon him. But you're preaching the coming of the Lord, that moment when the Lord comes to the end. Who's going to go? I've been at many funeral services and they talk about the resurrection. They talk about the dead being raised. But when we read the scriptures, we find that it's only them that believe in. It's only them that's ready. They'll be raised. When the Lord gives a shout, it will only be those that are ready. And that's what John the Baptist was preaching. He was telling them, he said, "The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming." And they failed to recognize it. There was many, we don't know how many, believed the Lord was coming, and it must have been many because John the Baptist preached faithfully and many were baptized in the River Jordan. John baptized many in the River Jordan. But he preached us the Lord's coming. Be ready for the Lord's coming. And that's the message of the gospel, isn't it? Be ready for the Lord's coming. But what I liked about John, this, when I was reading this in John, it says this. That John says to his two disciples with him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He turned his disciples round and pointed to the Lord Jesus. That's what the gospel is. We point you to the Lord Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it says this, that the two disciples left him and followed after the Lord Jesus. That's what John wanted. I'm sure that's what John wanted. John didn't want the disciples to follow him. He wanted them to follow the Lord Jesus. And they came to the Lord Jesus, and they said to the Lord Jesus, where dwellest thou? And the Lord Jesus says, come and see. You know, when we preach the gospel of God's salvation, it's not only saves you from a lost eternity, but it gives you a life with the Lord Jesus, which is very far better. It gives you a better life, because to have the Lord Jesus with me through life's journey, and you'll find if you don't know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, you don't know that. You don't know that privilege that the Christian has of knowing the Lord Jesus with them. The Lord Jesus will carry us through this scene of time. Sometimes the way doesn't seem easy, but it doesn't matter. The Lord's still there. And the Lord says, come and see. And that's what the Lord wants men and women, to come and trust him. Come and see what he really is. Trust him for salvation. Going through John's Gospel, the next man I would like to spoke about was Nicodemus. And if we turn to chapter 3, we'd find that Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, and one of the things he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And we know that the Lord turned around to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. But if we read on in John 3, we find the gospel made very clear. You know, many people stood staggered at the new birth, but the Lord Jesus makes it simpler. When you go to John chapter 3 and verse 14, what does it say? The Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, you'll remember as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. Nicodemus would know that. He would know that because he knew the Old Testament scriptures. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm not sure if Nicodemus fully appreciated what the Lord Jesus said. But one thing we know, Nicodemus trusted the Lord Jesus. But later on in the scripture we find that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged the body of the Lord Jesus. But for John 3 and 14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth on him, that's the Lord Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. Then in John 3 and 16, that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What was the Lord Jesus doing? He was pointing to himself, wasn't he? He was pointing to himself. John writing the gospel was pointing to the Lord Jesus. And the scripture, if we read on, we could find that it says in, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The gospel is what you believe, is your attitude to the Lord Jesus, is your attitude to him. When the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, as I said already, you must have trusted the Lord Jesus. Because there was a day came when he took his stand. He was maybe a secret disciple, but when it came to the cross and begging the body of the Lord Jesus, that wasn't something that was done privately, that was done publicly. Nicodemus had to publicly go to Pilate and beg the body of. And because we read John 3:16, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Whosoever believeth in him." If we went further on in the scriptures, we come to a man in John chapter 9. And this was a blind man. And the disciples asked the Lord a question, said, "Who's sin, Lord? Why is this man blind? Who was it, his parents? Or was it the man himself? He was born blind from his birth. He'd been born blind from birth. Who sinned?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents. But the God's glory might be seen." So the Lord made a clay and anointed the man's eyes. And he sent the man to the pool, the Siloam, to wash. And the scripture says that the man went and he washed, and he came seeing. I always think of this, that here was a man that didn't know very much about the Lord Jesus. He knew nothing. I don't think he knew very much about the Lord Jesus. He may have heard of folk being healed, but it doesn't seem to be that this man knew very much about the Lord Jesus, because if we read in this other scripture, we find that there was a blind man, Bartimaeus, and when Bartimaeus heard that the Lord Jesus was passing, he'd heard what the Lord Jesus could do. And he cried out to the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Bartimaeus knew the Lord could restore his sight, but this poor man didn't. And yet when the Lord Jesus made a clay and anointed his eyes, sent him away to wash, and he came back seeing. So people started to question him. He said, "Now how did you see?" And we find how much this man knew about the Lord Jesus. He says, "A man which was called Jesus, he made a clay and he anointed my eyes. And I come seeing." And the scribes and the Pharisees were not very happy at that, because it was on the Sabbath day that the Lord Jesus had done this. And the scribes and the Pharisees turned to this man and they said, "Who's your parents?" And they got his parents and asked him, "Is this your son that was born blind?" And they said, "He's old enough to answer for himself. We don't know what happened, but he's old enough. That's your son." Then the scribes and the Pharisees sketched at this man, denying the Lord Jesus. Deny that man. That this man could say, "One thing I know, that once I was blind, now I see." They tried to say the Lord Jesus was a sinner. He says, "One thing I know, that once I was blind, but now I see, and only a man of God could do that." So the man was cast out of the temple. And to a Jew, that was something pretty awful, to be cast out. But the Lord Jesus met him. And he spoke to this man, and he said to the man, "You'd been cast out." And he asked him if he believed in the Lord Jesus. He said, "Who is he?" That means he didn't know him. The Lord Jesus could say, "Look, you've not only heard him, but you've seen him. And he that speaketh unto you is he." And what was the man's response? He says, "Lord, I believe. I believe." And the man had seen the person of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was the same person that that man saw. He saw the Lord Jesus, his Lord and Savior. He saw him as his Lord and Savior. You're going through the scriptures. Another time you get well-known verses, and often read verses, when we come to John chapter 14. Thomas, who's called a doubter, and he did doubt the resurrection, we find that. But Thomas often comes up with some good statements and some good questions. Thomas turned to the Lord Jesus when John chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And Thomas said, "How do we know the way? How do we know the way?" And the Lord Jesus says to him these famous words, "I am the way, the truth and the life." That is John chapter 14 and 6. The Lord Jesus says to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth and the life." And that's again pointing to the Lord Jesus. The only way, the only true way, the only life. Everything points to the Lord Jesus. Thinking of another time when the Lord Jesus spoke to men. The Lord Jesus spoke to Peter in chapter 21. We find that when he was speaking to Peter, he turned to Peter and said, "Lovest thou these more than me?" And Peter said, "No, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Again the Lord asked him the same question, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Then a third time the Lord asked Peter, and Peter, I'm sure, was showing this, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee." The Lord says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." The three times. But after the Lord Jesus had spoken to Peter, I was thinking of what did Peter do? Peter turned around and said, "What about this man? What about this man? What will this man do?" And Peter got rebuked. Peter was rebuked to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says to Peter, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." And I was thinking of that in the Gospel. How many people think, "What does my neighbour do? What does my neighbour do?" The Lord Jesus would say to you, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." That is the Gospel, pointing to the Lord Jesus and to follow the Lord Jesus. It wasn't that the Lord Jesus had nothing for John to do, but that was nothing to do with Peter. And you know, individual salvation is for each individual. No, people are, they may be 100 saved at a time in some gospel meetings, and that's great, but each one of these 100 is an individual, and each individual comes in their own way, and his own salvation, it's the same salvation, but we all don't get it the same way. You know that salvation is free. It's coming to Christ. Often think of why Peter on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and he says to the men and women in the nation of Israel, he says, "Ye men and brethren, this same Jesus whom ye took and with wicked hands have crucified and slain has preached the forgiveness of sins. Through this man, has preached the forgiveness of sins. Well, when they said, men and brethren, what will we do? Well, the one thing that we do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10 and 9, isn't it? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that's what the blind man did. The blind man had to confess him as Lord. He believed in his heart, God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And Peter said it to the nation of Israel on the day of Pentecost. They knew that the Lord Jesus had been crucified. They knew that through their wickedness they had crucified and slew the Lord Jesus. And yet Peter could say, but through this man has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Going through that, and you went through that, you find the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he was breathing out fire and slaughter against the Christians. But the day came when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus. And when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus, it altered his way. It altered his life. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, when he was breathing, and he saw that great light, and he heard the voice from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul could say, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? Who am I persecuting? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And you know, the voice of the Lord, the sight of Christ, was enough to convert Paul. Paul says, who art thou, Lord? He bowed the knee and acknowledged the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's the message of the gospel. The person of Christ, the one who John could point to, behold the Lamb of God. You know, the salvation is there in the preacher. Salvation isn't in any other. There's only salvation in one. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus. So we pray. Our God and Father, we thank you again for the message of the gospel. We give thanks again for the person of the Lord Jesus. As we think of why he came to this scene of time, the wonder of him coming, the wonder of him loving through in a world that hated him without a cause. And our God and Father, a world that would say we would not have him to reign over. And yet he gave himself for us, that he might bring us to thee. Again, this evening, our God and Father, we ask that they would bless the message of the gospel, that we may be attracted to the Lord Jesus, and returning to the Lord Jesus, we might know him as Lord and Savior. We pray again for whatever the gospel is preached in it. Through this land of ours, there'll be many gospel meetings. We think again of the special meetings again at Malingry. We ask again that there may be a time of blessing in the preaching there. And again we ask that they separate us with thy blessing, because we ask it in and through the person of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Did we sing that? Number two. He's sitting on your list. Two seventy three, on that step to Jesus, then why not take him and come with thy sin confessing? To him thy Saviour, but on that step, come. He waits for thee, come in thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing, do not reject the mercy. He freely offers thee him. 273, remain seated for this.